Why wait to read about it? Get it first and get it all from George McCall. The makers of Old Gold cigarettes again take pleasure in presenting Hollywood's Ace Reporter with new and exciting screen scoops fresh from the nation's film capital. So you're planning on a vacation. Well, here's our best wishes for loads of fun, and here's a good tip for you. Whether you plan to go to a dry or moist climate, or to some remote spot in the woods where cigarette stock is not replenished very often, you'll always be sure of fresh cigarettes if you'll ask for Old Gold. The outer jacket of cellophane, opening at the bottom of the pack, laughs at all kinds of weather. It provides the double seal that keeps Old Gold's prize crop tobaccos in the pink of smoking condition in any climate, anywhere. You light a truly fresh cigarette when you light an Old Gold. Now here's that man about Hollywood, George McCall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we broadcast to you direct from the new $2.5 million Hollywood Turf Club. We are attending a little preview party here to celebrate the opening of the new racetrack tomorrow. Among those with us are Priscilla and Rosemary Lane, Arthur Treacher, Dick Foran, Johnny Davis, Jeffrey Lynn, he's Warner Brothers' new leading man, and as many as time will permit will be on the air. Meanwhile, let me give you a picture of Hollywood's new home for the sport of kings. We are standing in the Turf Club Lounge, which overlooks a mile track. Within the 37-acre oval infield are three lakes, waterfalls, water lilies, and other plants making a brilliant aquatic display. The driveway and entrances are lined with palm and pine trees. To my right is a little village of 80 houses. These are the stables where more than 1,100 horses make their home during the 33-day season. Directly behind us is a unique innovation, an indoor paddock where you can view the horses before the race starts. The huge grandstand is double-decked and accommodates 60,000 people. All in all, this track, which opens tomorrow, is a tribute to motion pictures and the motion picture stars who are behind it. Among those who have helped make this beautiful park possible are Jack Warner, who is chairman of the board, Al Jolson, Joan Blondell, Ronald Coleman, Irene Dunn, George Brent, Sally Eilers, Darrell F. Zanuck, Miriam Hopkins, Walt Disney, Bing Crosby, Joey Brown, and many others. Only 15 minutes from Hollywood and Vine, this is as much Hollywood's as the Brown Derby, the Trocadero, and all the other familiar spots. And now, while Wendell Niles is rounding up the guests at this preview party, let me tell you what's happening in Hollywood. If you see some uncomplimentary pictures of Norma Shearer in the newspapers and magazines during the next few weeks, they will be the result of a party she gave in honor of Helen Hayes at the Trocadero, where the photographers were not allowed inside the cafe until 3 o'clock in the morning. That's how the Hollywood camera lads take their revenge. And speaking of Helen Hayes, her 8-year-old daughter Mary is appearing with her mother in Victoria Regina at the in Los Angeles this week. Because of her youth, she works only at the matinees, for which she receives $5. The youngster informed her mother today that she wants to appear in the evening performances because, said little Mary, I want to show up Shirley Temple. She can't be as good as me. Her mother isn't an actress. Wayne Morris will be the guest of Virginia Military Institute at the school's commencement exercises. The trip is a publicity stunt arranged by smart Charles Anfeld, Warner Brothers publicity director, to boost Wayne's next picture, Brother Rat, which is written around Virginia Military Institute. When Marion Davis left for New York last night on the sleeper plane, she arrived at the airport in an ambulance. Just a few hours before that, Miss Davis had been in quite a serious automobile accident. Harry Langdon, who was one of the leading comedians a few years ago and a competitor of Laurel and Hardy, is now broke. Yesterday, Laurel and Hardy gave him a job on the script of their next picture, Meet the Misses. Earl Flynn is still smarting from a fall he took in the La Conga nightclub last night. He went to sit down and a playful Shriner pulled the chair from beneath him and Flynn went kerplunk. Melvin Douglas started to pick him up and only complicated matters by knocking a pitcher of water off the table into Flynn's face. Phyllis Brooks had a birthday in a few weeks. So today, Cary Grant sent her a diamond brooch and a diamond bracelet so that she could take her choice. As yet, he hasn't sent her an engagement ring. When Bob Burns visited Van Buren, Arkansas recently, 14 phony relatives, including 5 Uncle Fudds, showed up and claimed they were his kin. That's one of the reasons Burns took a fast train through Arkansas. Teitelbaum, a Hollywood furrier, has received an order from 20th Century Fox to make 5 ermine coats and hats for the Dionne quintuplets to be used in their picture Five of a Kind. And so the weasel-like ermine, which is trapped up around Callander, Ontario, has to come to Hollywood to be made into a coat and go back to Callander in order to get into pictures. Katharine Hepburn is vacationing in New York and looking for a stage play. Miss Hepburn feels that the success of her latest picture, Holiday, has been the answer to her critics, and she now wants to avenge the lambasting the New York reviewers gave her on her last stage appearance there in The Lake. Of course, this all depends on whether she will take that round-the-world airplane trip with Howard Hughes, which, if she does, will be a honeymoon.
And now our screen-style fashion scout will interview Miss Rosemary Lane.
How do you do, Miss Lane?
How do you do?
That black and pink ensemble you have on is stunning. But then I've always admired your taste.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like it. And I've always been in favor of black with a pink accent myself.
Would you care to give us a description of what you'll be wearing at the opening tomorrow?
Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather keep that a secret until I burst forth in all my glory. However, I'd like to tell you what I think all the other women will be wearing.
I'd like to hear that.
Well, I think the turnout should be a very colorful one. Most ensembles will combine at least three colors and possibly four. There'll be competition between the Gibson girl and the box-tailored silhouettes. You'll see many accessories in the way of costume jewelry, gay scarves, unique belts, and bags. And about hats. Well, of course, it's a little difficult to say. Practically anything goes these days.
Thank you, Miss Lane. And I'll be on hand to see your new outfit tomorrow. But, ladies and gentlemen, strictly on the merits of how she looks right now, tonight we select Miss Rosemary Lane as the best-dressed star of the week.
George McCall, Hollywood's ace motion picture critic, gives you a prior peek into the projection room.
The pictures that hit the bullseye tonight. The Rage of Paris, a Universal picture. This is Daniel Dario's first American picture, and you can be sure it won't be her last, for Miss Dario is destined to become one of our top stars. With looks, a load of appeal, and tremendous ability, she has everything necessary for stardom. Her accent is slight, in fact, hardly noticeable. In this picture, she displays herself as an excellent comedienne. Douglas Fairbanks Jr. is teamed with her in a story that establishes her as an adventuress, out to marry a yet rich young man who is Fairbanks' pal. Fairbanks, out to save his pal, falls in love with Miss Dario. The picture is crammed with hilarious situations. In addition to the two principals, Misha Auer, Lewis Hayward, and Helen Broderick, add greatly to the picture's entertainment. Take my word for it, this is one you can't afford to miss. The second picture is The Cowboy from Brooklyn, a Warner Brothers comedy. This is a feature that will give you your money's worth in laughs. Dick Powell is a timid musician from Brooklyn who runs on a dude ranch. He fears all animals and won't get near them. Pat O'Brien, a fast-talking New York promoter, arrives on the ranch, hears Powell sing, and takes him back to New York as a genuine Western singer. Then it is discovered that he is actually from Brooklyn, and that the only way he can prove he is a cowboy is by bulldogging a steer at the Madison Square Garden Rodeo. O'Brien has him hypnotized, and of course, you know Dick wins the contest and the girl, Priscilla Lane. The performances by Miss Lane, Powell, O'Brien, Dick Foran, and Johnny Davis are swell. Ann Sheridan and Ronald Reagan are also excellent. You'll enjoy immensely two of the musical numbers, Ride, Tenderfoot, Ride, and I'll Dream of You Tonight. If you want some real entertainment, don't miss The Cowboy from Brooklyn. Both of these pictures will be playing at your favorite theaters in about 2 weeks. And now Wendell Niles takes over for Old Gold. There's a lot of people here I want you to meet, and I'll be back in a moment to introduce them.
When Pierre Lorillard established his tobacco business way back in colonial days, he had no fanciful notions as to the purposes and virtues of tobacco. He looked upon this benevolent leaf for what it really is, a good smoke, not a cure-all, a source of pleasure and comfort, not a magic panacea. That's been the Lorillard idea since 1760. And in making Old Golds, Lorillard has aimed to pack as much pure, wholesome, and flavory enjoyment into a cigarette as the best tobaccos and blending skill can impart. And it doesn't stop there. Even after Old Golds are made, Lorillard continues to protect your cigarette pleasure. It wraps every pack of Old Golds in two jackets of cellophane instead of one, safeguarding the freshness of each Old Gold until it reaches your lips. That fresh and flavorful taste of Old Gold is its own best salesman. Try a pack and let Old Gold's finer taste win your taste. George, here's Mr. Kerman.
Oh, that's swell. How are you, Mr. Kerman?
Well,
I've heard a lot about you. What stables are you training?
Mr. Harry M. Warren and Mervyn LeRoy.
Well, that practically puts you in the movie business.
Well, I don't know. There's pretty good horsemen in the movies.
Are any of your horses running tomorrow?
Yes, Mad Sue is running the first race, along with Mervyn LeRoy.
Well, I'll remember that. It should be a winner. Have you got any more winners for tomorrow? You know, Mr. Kermit, you're around a lot.
I like Rolling Ball in the fifth race.
Rolling Ball in the fifth. Well, I'll remember that.
And here's Priscilla Lane.
Hello, Priscilla. Say, before I ask you how you like this new track, I'm going to tell you that I'm one of your ardent fans. I got a terrific boot out of you in Cowboy from Brooklyn last night.
Well, I'm sure mighty grateful for that, partner.
Well, now, Priscilla, the picture's over. You sound like Dick Ferrain.
Well, I spent six weeks learning it, and I hate to give it up.
How do you like the track, you know, but without the dialect?
Oh, I think it's beautiful. In a place like this, you'd almost rather watch horses than ride them. And I'm enjoying this party, too.
Well, that's fine, Priscilla. And just to show you, I'm a good friend of yours. I was talking to John Kermuth there, the trainer, a moment ago, and he told me Rolling Ball in the fifth race can't lose, so there's a tip for you.
Oh, well, that horse hasn't a chance. Sky Grenade is sure to win that race. I got it right from the trainer.
Oh, is that so? Well, thanks, Priscilla.
George, here's Dick Foran.
Hello, Dick. From a cowboy from Princeton, New Jersey, you were all right in the cowboy from Brooklyn. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Dick is recognized as one of the best Western stars who ever straddled a bronco. Dick, you've been riding in pictures for about 3 years, haven't you?
Well, I reckon.
I reckon. Look, between you and Priscilla Lane, you've got me talking that way. Dick, how's that new baby of yours?
Great, George. I just left the hospital a few minutes ago, and he looks well, and so does she.
What's he going to be when he grows up?
Well, I don't know, but it looks as though he'd be an opera singer. He has a pair of lungs like no other kid in that hospital.
Look, to celebrate the arrival of the youngster, I'm going to give you a horse that's sure to win. Priscilla Lane gave it to me. It's Sky Grenade in the fifth.
Look, George, he hasn't got a chance. The horse that's sure to win the fifth is Johnny Penn. Now, remember the name, Johnny Penn.
Okay.
And here's Johnny Davis without his trumpet.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, George.
With you and the Lane girls here, all we need is Fred Waring and the old gang would be together. Say, by the way, Johnny, what do you think of the track?
I think it's swell, George. You know, I've been a lot of racetracks all over the country, and this is the most beautiful one I've ever seen. And those black swans out in the lake really get me.
Say, Johnny, you've been around a lot of racetracks, eh?
Yes, I sure have.
I suppose you're a good judge of horse flesh.
Well, I've picked a lot of winners.
Look, I don't want to tell you your business, Johnny, but I'm going to give you the winner of the fifth race tomorrow. It's Pala Chief. Ferran just gave it to me.
Pala Chief? Well, who gave you that? Well, look, now, I just told you I was a judge of horse flesh. Why, you know, the last time that nag ran, they had to light lamps to get him home. Now, look, take a tip from me. Red Scent is the one that'll win that race, and you can take my word for it, but keep it confidential, you know.
Well, Johnny, you know I will. You know I won't spill it, and thanks for coming up to the mic.
And here's Arthur Treacher, 20th Century Fox player.
Well, hello, Arthur. Say, what do you think of this racetrack?
Well, I've been to a lot of race courses in a lot of countries, and I think this is magnificent. In fact, old boy, it's the real McCall. It could only happen in Hollywood, you know, but don't get me wrong, I do love Hollywood.
Well, that was very nice, Arthur. And for that, I'm going to give you the horse that'll win the fifth race tomorrow. It's Red Scent.
Oh, no, old boy, it's Moari Chief.
Rosemary Lane's here again, George.
Hello, Rosemary. Where you been?
Well, I've been over at the stables looking at a horse.
Don't tell me now. I know which one, because it was just given to me by Arthur Treacher.
Mm.
It's Maori Chief. He's sure to win the fifth.
Oh, Pala Chief's the horse that'll win the fifth.
Do you really think he's got a chance?
Well, I got an awfully hot tip.
Well, you know how these tips are. They're not very reliable, I always find.
I told you I was at the stables. The horse himself told me.
Well, that's different. Gee, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, George, I've been trying to get you alone.
What is it, Wendell?
Well, look, I've been getting the lowdown from the jockeys and trainers, and they told me, absolutely confidentially, of course, which horse is going to win that fifth race tomorrow. Now, I promise not to tell anyone, but if you happen to look over my shoulder and read this paper that I'm holding in my right hand, I can't help it, can I?
All right, I'll take a peek. Why, that's Rolling Ball. That's the horse trainer Kermuth gave me at the start of this program. This is where I came in. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is where I go out. We hope you've enjoyed our little party at the preview of Hollywood's new mecca for horse lovers, the Hollywood Turf Club. I've been awfully happy to have you with me. And take it from me, that's the McCall.
The opinions George McCall expresses on this program are his own, and the makers of Double Mellow Old Gold cigarettes are in no way responsible for them. George McCall reports and interprets the news of Hollywood as he sees it. On Tuesday night at the same time, George McCall will be back on this station with more dramatic screen scoops flashed to you from the heart of Hollywood. Until then, Old Gold bids you good night and good smoking. Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.